Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. Ukraine scores a big hit on the Russian naval fleet in Crimea. We'll explain how they did it. The former president of France has warned that Ukrainian membership in NATO and the European Union, quote, would not promote peace, end quote, and would be perceived as provocation, leading to World War III with Russia. Members of the UK's special forces were caught trying to sabotage Russian nuclear power plants, prompting a stern warning from Vladimir Putin. The U.S. military is building a new airbase in the jungles of the Indo-Pacific, and the Biden regime finds itself unable to weasel its way out of accusations of censorship against conservative Americans. And we have a special report tonight on the wave of violent thievery at retail stores and what some retail store chains are doing about it. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. Ukraine has successfully attacked the Russian port on Crimea and destroyed the Russian submarine Rostov-on-Don and the landing ship Minsk. Both vessels were in dry dock for repairs. We learned about the consequences of Ukraine's attack on a major dry dock shipyard in the early morning on Wednesday, September 13th. According to Russia Today, British-made missiles are suspected to have been used by Ukraine in the attack, which injured at least 24 workers. The UK indeed has provided dozens of Storm Shadow air-to-surface cruise missiles to Kiev in its war with Russia. The blast reportedly shattered windows in nearby houses and damaged rooftops. And there are unconfirmed reports that claim two people may have been killed in the attack. All the victims were reportedly employees of the shipyard, which is a major facility involved in maintaining Russian warships. The missiles completely destroyed the two vessels, which were in for repairs, but are now not even salvageable. Two more vessels were damaged at the shipyard. Now, according to updated reports, 10 cruise missiles and two naval drones were fired at in this area. The drones were destroyed, but only two of the missiles were shot down, so the damage from the impacts was very serious. The regional governor of the area has also demanded that the city's air defenses be strengthened. During the missile strike, panic struck the city. In fact, the police received information that saboteurs were operating in the city, and they sent several patrols to search for them. One of them mistook an armed military patrol for saboteurs and opened fire. As a result of the shootout, four people were killed, three soldiers and one policeman. The submarine B-237 entered the Russian Navy fleet in 2014 as a missile carrier, and it cost about $300 million. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy has warned that Ukrainian membership in NATO and the EU, quote, would not promote peace, end quote, and would be perceived as a provocation of Russia. Speaking to the French news station BFMTV on Wednesday, Sarkozy argued it is in Kiev's best interest to remain neutral regarding the Western blocs. The former leader also insisted that diplomacy with Moscow remains the most prudent option for Ukraine to end the current conflict. Sarkozy, you'll remember, served as the president of France between 2007 and 2012. NATO leaders declared at a summit in Lithuania in July that the bloc would only invite Ukraine to become a member, quote, when allies agree and conditions are met, end quote. NATO had already denied Kiev's call for a fast track to full membership in September of 2022. Moscow, well, they have frequently expressed their opposition to NATO's eastward expansion. President Vladimir Putin, he cited the bloc's involvement in Ukraine as among the key reasons Moscow began its military operation against Kiev last year. Vladimir Putin has warned the United Kingdom of, quote, serious consequences, end quote, and said Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, quote, doesn't understand, end quote, the risk after the UK's special forces were caught trying to sabotage Russian nuclear power plants. Putin said Britain's elite forces were training Ukrainian troops on how to damage atomic power plants in Russia. The Russian president declared dire consequences for the UK while admitting his words would be interpreted as, quote, nuclear blackmail, end quote. Putin claimed during a speech at an economic forum that Russia's security service had interrogated a Ukrainian team caught operating inside Russia. He stated, quote, it turned out to be a sabotage group of Ukrainian special services. Interrogation showed they had been tasked to damage one of our nuclear stations by exploding a power line to damage the work of the power plant. And this is not the first attempt, end quote. He further alleged, quote, during interrogation, they admitted they were trained under supervision of British instructors. Do the British understand what they're playing with or not? Are they provoking our response at Ukrainian nuclear sites, nuclear stations, or what? Does the British leadership or the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom know what their special services are engaged with in Ukraine? Or do they have no clue at all? I assume this is possible too. I assume it is possible British special services act on the orders of the Americans. Either way, we know the final beneficiary, end quote. Well, my friends, when this kind of thing happens, don't be shocked if Russia, in a no-limits relationship with China, ends up finding the U.S. power grid taken down. We've warned about this for a long time. I hope you're ready. The U.S. Air Force is stripping away tracts of jungle in Micronesia to make room for a new military base. That's what a senior commander said, noting the move is part of plans to build up American forces in the Indo-Pacific. Speaking to reporters at an event hosted by the Air and Space Forces Association, Pacific Air Force Commander General Kenneth Wilsbach described efforts to refurbish defunct U.S. air bases, including a World War II-era installation on Tinian, which is a small island near Guam. Quote, we're going to be clearing out the jungle and we're going to be resurfacing some of the surfaces there so that we have a fairly large and very functional agile combat employment base, an additional base to be able to operate from, and we have several other projects like that around the region that we'll be getting after, end quote. Well, to accomplish that goal, the Air Force has requested additional funding from lawmakers in its 2024 budget proposal. The general added, saying the new bases would be part of a, quote, hub and spoke, end quote, network across Asia intended, quote, to deter, end quote, Beijing. The general added, quote, every single additional airfield that I can operate from in a contingency or crisis or a conflict is another airfield that China has to put into their targeting folders and then allocate resources toward them, which dilutes their ability to shut us completely down, end quote. Joe Biden and key White House officials are scrambling to deny the obvious truth that they pressured big tech to censor Americans. In a White House press briefing on July 6, 2021, then Press Secretary Jen Psaki admitted, in no uncertain terms, that the Biden administration is, quote, in regular touch with social media platforms and areas we have concern, end quote, regarding what Americans are allowed to post to those platforms. Watch this.
We're in at this point.
And you went through kind of the top line details of this yesterday, but can you elaborate a little bit on the Facebook, the
sure.
administration to Facebook flagging of disinformation? And then there's also some reporting that we've had that Facebook maybe hasn't been as proactive as the White House would like it to be in response to some of the flagging. So the process of how the flagging works and then whether Facebook has been amenable to those requests.
Sure. Well, I would say first, it shouldn't come as any surprise that we're in regular touch with social media platforms, just like we're in regular touch with all of you and your media outlets about areas where we have concern, information that might be useful, information that may or may not be interesting to your viewers. You all make decisions just like the social media platforms make decisions, even though they're a private sector company and different, but just as an example. So we are regularly making sure social media platforms are aware of the latest narratives dangerous to public health that we and many other Americans are seeing across all of social and traditional media. And we work to engage with them to better understand the enforcement of social media platform policies. So let me give you an example just to illustrate it a little bit. The false narrative that remains active out there about COVID-19 vaccines causing infertility, something we've seen out there flowing on the internet quite a bit and other places as well, which has been disproven time and time again. This is troubling, but a persistent narrative that we and many have seen, and we want to know that the social media platforms are taking steps to address it. That is inaccurate, false information. If you are a parent, you would look at that information, and that would naturally raise concerns, but it's inaccurate. And that is an example of the kind of information that we are flagging or raising.
And then has Facebook been as proactive as the White House would like in terms of...
We also know that Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google, YouTube, well, they have employed hundreds of former FBI, CIA, and other government intelligence officers on their corporate staffs. Yet, these government hacks have the audacity to try and hide behind big tech companies and blame them for the censorship. It's as though the Biden regime didn't pressure them into clamping down on free speech in the first place, and we all know that's a lie. The Daily Signal observed in a recent article, quote, Biden and his cronies also argue that because some Americans who had their social media accounts permanently suspended now have access to the platforms again, they no longer face any threat of future censorship, end quote. Well, a three-judge panel on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit rejected these lame arguments in a ruling last Friday, blocking the government from using big tech to silence Americans. In fact, the judges, they upheld a temporary injunction that U.S. District Court Judge Terry Doherty issued on July 4th, barring the president and key officials in his administration from engaging with social media companies for the purpose of pressuring them to stifle the free speech of Americans. The plaintiffs in the case include Missouri and Louisiana, represented by Attorneys General Andrew Bailey and Liz Merle, both Republicans, along with doctors who spoke out against COVID-19 mandates, Gateway Pundit founder Jim Hoft and Jill Hind, as an anti-lockdown activist and co-director of Health Freedom Louisiana. They allege that the Biden regime, quote, suppressed conservative-leaning free speech, end quote, on the Hunter Biden laptop story ahead of the 2020 presidential election on COVID-19 issues, including its origin, masks, lockdowns, and vaccines, and on election integrity in the 2020 presidential election, and on the security of voting by mail, and on the economy, and on Joe Biden himself. We'll be right back after this break.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog
bed. Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35 or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Hey, don't forget, we're brought to you by you, so thank you. Thank you to all of you that support us. We would not be here if it were not for you, literally. I mean, we would have no way to fund the program. We couldn't afford to do the program. So thank you. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you're not supporting us, let me tell you how you can. Very simple. You just go to WVWFoundation.com and you can make a contribution of any size. Let me tell you something, folks. Even a small contribution, well, when it's added to other small contributions, it adds up. It doesn't take long before we have the resources we need to put out all the programs we produce. Now, folks, we have three studios, two control rooms, lots of expensive equipment, and we have lots of people that we have to pay to post-edit the programs, build the graphics, stream the programs live, repost the programs online when we go off the air so you can watch them whenever you want on demand free of charge. It takes an awful lot to keep everything rolling. You can go to my website, worldviewtube.com. Check out all the free shows that are on demand right there, worldviewtube.com. And I pay thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill to push out free programming. Now, if you appreciate that, we're asking you to partner with us, if you would, by simply making a contribution at wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. So thank you for doing that. I really mean it. Retailers face rising challenges of shrinking inventories caused by the prevalence of theft, shoplifting, and other fraudulent activities. In fact, a recent retail workplace survey by Loss Prevention Magazine, well, they found that 60% of retail workers saw some form of criminal activity on the job over the past 12 months. These business challenges, well, they're especially hitting urban areas. And the reason why? Well, this might be why two Atlanta-based Walmarts recently closed. One on Howell Mill Road and another in Vine City. In fact, Walmart, they recently announced plans to reopen one of the two stores, but this time with major security upgrades, while the Howell Mill Road branch is to remain closed. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that the Vine City Supercenter will reopen with a pharmacy, grocery store, and wait for this, and a police station. The store is set to open on May of 2024. And this is going to follow what will be nearly a year-long closure after shoplifters, well, they repeatedly set the building on fire to distract from their shoplifting. When it reopens, the store will be a neighborhood market, which is typically one-fifth the size of a supercenter. And after talking with the Merchants Association on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, Clark University, and other people in the neighborhood, well, those folks were saying that they want to see more police presence. That's what Dickens told the newspaper. So, having a police substation in a Walmart branch is a first. We know that. But officials believe an increased police presence will help to prevent in-store crime to make shoppers feel safer. The substation will also feature a place for police to charge their phones and body cameras, as well as have meetings and file documents. Dickens added that he hopes the police station will help Walmart leadership feel confident that inventory shrinkage, that's what they're calling it now, won't be as pervasive of an issue and hopefully prevent them from leaving, as was the case in Chicago. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon told CNBC in late 2022, quote, it's higher than what it has historically been. We've got safety measures, security measures that we've put in place by store location. I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation. And that's normally how we approach it. If that's not corrected over time, prices will be higher and or stores will close, end quote. The epidemic of flash mob robberies, well, it's having a devastating effect on retailers of all sizes, not just Walmart. This is not only causing problems due to the violence and trauma inflicted on those present during the event, it's also driving up cost even further in a nation that's already dealing with unprecedented inflation. In fact, according to Loss Prevention Magazine, quoting them again, each flash mob event cost retailers an average of about $700,000 for every $1 billion in sales. And it's happening almost daily. Here's some video footage of a flash mob robbery in action at a Nordstrom store in Los Angeles. Watch this. TMZ reports former Boston Celtics and Orlando Magic player Brandon Hunter has died suddenly at the age of 42 with no explanation given. Ohio men's basketball coach Jeff Boyles confirmed Hunter's death on Tuesday, September 12. Hunter, a standout high school basketball player in Cincinnati, was a star forward for the Ohio University Bobcats, earning 3 first-team All-MAC conference selections and leading the NCAA in rebounding. That was his senior season. He was selected with the 56th overall pick in the 2003 NBA draft. Hunter played 67 games over 2 seasons in the NBA, scoring a career-high 17 points against the Milwaukee Bucks in 2004. Details surrounding Hunter's death have not been released. But the question we all want to know is, did he take the COVID shot? Well, now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. CNN anchor Poppy Harlow dusted off the New Mexico Constitution on Tuesday and used it to ask Democrat Governor Michelle Grisham what empowers her to suspend gun rights. In the interview, Grisham repeatedly attacked New Mexico law enforcement for opposing her order, which suspends gun carry rights in Albuquerque for about 30 days. Well, thankfully, the law enforcement community is not going along largely, including sheriffs, among others. And thankfully, a federal judge has slapped her down. She claimed her critics have no solution for gun violence, suggesting law enforcement is ignoring the problem. And she asserted anyone who opposes her is using, quote, NRA talking points, end quote. In fact, the governor angrily stated, quote, it's not for police to tell me what's constitutional or not, end quote. Well, that's when CNN's Harlow directly confronted the governor over her assertion that she has the so-called right to suspend, well, rights endowed to New Mexicans, endowed by the U.S. Constitution, by God, and also the New Mexico Constitution. Quote, but where is the right? Where is the right? That's what the CNN anchor asked. And Governor Grisham, well, she tried at first to dodge the question, citing unrelated abortion rights, reverting to her default position on the NRA. And she even tried a recent Supreme Court case in New York, but Harlow would have none of it. And, well, came to the interview prepared, apparently, because she quoted directly from the New Mexico Constitution. Take a look at this exchange.
And that's actually, Governor, what I'm talking about. You bring up the Bruin case, the Supreme Court last year. Let me just ask you this, because the Supreme Court last year totally changed what we're allowed to do, what you're allowed to do. And they said, unless you can base it in the history and tradition, you don't have grounds to do something like this. The New Mexico Constitution, I looked last night, Article 2, Section 6, says this, quote, no law shall abridge the right of citizens to keep and bear arms for security and defense. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. Are you not in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and your state's constitution?
I don't believe that we are. And if that narrow reading of the Constitution, which has been tested in the state, we wouldn't have universal background checks. We wouldn't have a waiting period. We wouldn't have a red flag law. We wouldn't have prohibitions for straw purchases. None of those would have been deemed constitutional. And today, all of them are.
They were before the Supreme Court.
These absolute right discussions. Fair, but they haven't been tested again.
Okay.
And so for law enforcement, and I understand they're not really. Look, if you want the community to be safer, show me that you can do that. If you're not going to stand up for these kids and really test as hard as you can, getting fewer guns and dealing with gun violence in a meaningful way, then you're basically saying that you won't be responsible to protect the citizens of the state. Well, I will, and I will do everything in my power to turn the tide and to make sure every New Mexican, particularly children, are safe.
To law-abiding citizens.
Make families and communities safe, really. She's actually working for the opposite outcome, and I think she knows it. If law-abiding people are prevented from arming themselves, that means they will not be able to defend themselves and their children from the lawless thugs. This governor is pushing for a situation where only the criminals are armed. How does that make a community safer? Well, we know it doesn't. Like all gun-grabbing politicians who hate the Second Amendment, she's a complete and utter fraud who is perfectly, perfectly happy to see more dead bodies pile up in her state. If she were serious about ending the violence, she would work for stiffer penalties and longer sentences for violent criminals who, well, encourage the good people to arm themselves and get trained in how to use their firearms actively against these violent criminals. Anything short of that is just more disgusting Democrat talking points to divide us and to conquer us. I think the governor of New Mexico is what we would call, historically speaking, a useful idiot for the communist, doing their bidding. And she doesn't seem all that bright, does she? Not to me, she doesn't. In fact, she seems like exactly what we see in Romans chapter 1, a darkened-hearted, debased fool. Romans chapter 1. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, we thank you for tuning in and for supporting this broadcast. That is, if you appreciate a 30-minute newscast each night that brings you what is mostly censored news. News you're not going to see from, well, corporate media controlled by big corporations, by the Biden administration, by Big Pharma. This is your source for truth and uncensored news. So, we appreciate your support by going to WVW Foundation and making a contribution of any size. You can also go to MyPillow.com. There are a lot of sales over there on sheets, slippers, mattress toppers, mattresses themselves. But please use the promo code B66. When you do, you'll get savings and we get credit. It's a big part of our general operating budget, so thank you for that. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. And then you can go to WVWTVstore.com. There you'll find emergency freeze-dried food of all kinds and emergency supplies. Also, while you're there at WVWTVstore.com, why don't you check out all the details about our upcoming 20th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. It's on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. It starts on Friday night. Officially, it starts on Friday night, October 20th, although the optional concert banquet is on Thursday night, the 19th. And the keynote speakers live in the building will include General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, Dr. Peter McCullough, Todd Bensman, Alex Newman, Andy Woods, Colonel John Mills, and Rebecca Walzer. What a lineup. WVWTVstore.com for full details and or to register. So thank you for that. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.